We have an amendment to Senate Bill 19, which is below the line, which has to do with the with a lesser violation for juveniles on the hoax, the terrorist and hoax bill. How many here would like to testify in favor of that bill? Is there anybody? I think it really has. In favor of that amendment. How many would like, and who is here to testify against the amendment? I think we can handle it 5 minutes on each side. So we're open for consideration of Senate Bill 19, which is an act to create the crime of communicating a terroristic threat or hoax terroristic threat and to provide certain penalties therefor. And we have an amendment which we will circulate. Would you pass those on down? And Senator Hewick, I'll ask you basically to introduce this, if you would. You'll recall that this bill did pass out of this committee earlier and went to the floor, and there was a request to send it back to the committee to consider this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very quickly, I'm trying to get back up to speed with this bill. The amendment, if the committee will recall, at least I expressed some concern, and I think the chairman did as well, with regard to the implications of this bill relating to juveniles. And so what we have attempted to do is add to the bill on page 2, line 1, kind of a caveat that would address the juvenile issue. In other words, it would make it a Class 1 misdemeanor instead of a, Class 5 felony.
I think the consideration here was, was the fact that, you know, juveniles sometimes do not exercise as good a sense as they could. I think we've all been in that position or witnessed it. And the fact that, in fact, these adjudications do follow juveniles into adulthood and through adult life, even though there are laws on the books that might provide to the contrary. The fact is, they do impact employment opportunities with government and entrance into universities. They do impact bar examination, membership in the bar, and other organizations. That's the main consideration. We should move the amendment, I guess. First step.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendment.
Amendment's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion of the. Well, let's have a. For the proponents, any opponents, Charlie? Do we have somebody who would like to be a proponent? Yes. Okay. If you would, then Charlie would come next.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to take up the committee's time, other than indicating that I think that this is a very wise amendment to make. We've already had a number of instances around the country of adults doing stupid things because they thought it was funny, thinking that it's a good practical joke to put talcum powder in an envelope for a coworker. You can make a good argument why adults should be smarter, but frankly, when it comes to juveniles of a certain age and temperament, I think it's asking a lot to expect them to really not have moments of black humor around the events of September 11th, and it would be a tragedy to see that become a major issue in the rest of their lives.
And if I could, of course, we're not talking about letting juveniles off the hook by any means, but simply having a lesser offense.
I understood that, Mr. Chairman.
Any fellow proponents of the amendment? Opponents, Mr. McGugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Charlie McGugan with the Attorney General's Office, and we are opposed to the amendment for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, this would be an anomaly in South Dakota law. There is no other crime, at least none that I could find, that would be a felony for an adult and a misdemeanor for a juvenile. Second of all, if a student on that first nice sunny day in the spring decides they don't want to take their history exam and they pick up the phone and call into the principal's office and say there's a bomb in the school, that's a Class 6 felony. This amendment doesn't cover that situation, and it's much more common than what's going to be covered under Senate Bill 19. I did a query of just Class 6 felonies. There are 219 Class 6 felonies in South Dakota, any of which a juvenile could be adjudicated for, any of which would have the same impact on that juvenile as if they violated Senate Bill 19. Some of the provisions which they could be adjudicated for as a Class 6 felony, this is Class 6 only. If they are young entrepreneurs and they don't pay their sales or contractors excise tax, it's a Class 6 felony. If they participate in street gang activity, it's a Class 6 felony. If they shoot from a moving vehicle, it's a Class 6 felony. If they know a friend is going to commit suicide and they don't do anything to prevent that attempt, it's a Class 6 felony. If they encourage their friend to run away from home with them, it's a Class 6 felony. If they violate a restraining or protection order, it's a Class 6 felony. If they commit a hate crime, it's a Class 6 felony. If they gamble on the internet, it's a Class 6 felony. If they steal over $200, it's a Class 6 felony. If they joyride in an automobile, it's a Class 6 felony. Vandalism is a Class 6 felony. Possession of a forged instrument, if they scan a dollar bill into their computer and then print it out again, they've committed a Class 6 felony. They write a bad check over $500, it's a Class 6 felony. If they possess more than half pound of marijuana, if they distribute less than an ounce of marijuana, either of those are Class 6 felonies. If they deliver drug paraphernalia, if they give their friend a roach clip, it's a Class 6 felony. Or if they deliver contraband to one of their friends in a juvenile facility, it's a Class 6 felony. All of these have the same potential impact as if they violate Senate Bill 19. They're all adjudicated a delinquent. And that's what occurs. It's an adjudication of delinquency. It's then up to the circuit court to determine what, if any, information is given out to military recruiters, to law schools, to any other entities. And the amendment's an anomaly. And for all of these reasons, we oppose it. Thank you.
Questions of Mr. McGuigan? If not, thank you very much, Charlie. Are there any further opponents to the Senate Bill 19 as amended? If not, did we not vote on amendment? Oh, it was moved and seconded. Was there a second?
Yes. Seconded by?
Koskin. By Koskin. Sure. If we could have discussion of the amendment then. The amendment has been moved and seconded. Senator Moore.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm gonna go out on the limb again. You know, why would we want to make this a Class 1 misdemeanor for somebody under 18 who committed this act without malicious intent to cause death, serious bodily injury, or substantial property damage? I mean, for crying out loud, we have individuals that are 18, 19, and 20 years old that may not wish to commit anything other than a malicious intent. Now, why are we leaving them out? Should we put parameters on this thing that if you're up to 18, anything below 18 is, maybe we should make it a Class 2 misdemeanor. And if you're from 18 to 21, maybe a Class 1 misdemeanor. And anybody over 21, maybe that ought to be a Class 6 felony. I don't know. But I just think it makes us look a little bit ridiculous if we put a provision in this particular bill that says if it was committed without malicious intent by somebody under 18 years old, then it's okay. If it was committed without malicious intent, if you're over 18 years old, it's no longer a misdemeanor. That doesn't make any sense. It's contradictory. And I still have some faith in the system that if there wasn't malicious intent intended, I believe that a plea bargain will take place and they'll be charged with a lesser crime. I just think we're opening up a Pandora's box here with the provision that's set forth here as an amendment.
Senator Bogue.
Sure, I think this is an incredibly appropriate segue. I do have a substitute motion, which would address, I think, Senator Moore's concerns as well as my own, and also those of the proponents of the underlying motion. And once everybody gets a copy, I should say once I get a second. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically, all this does, my concern was, I think similar in vain to Senator Morris, that simply the communication of the threat, the calling in of a hoax, with not the intent to actually scare anybody, calling in something.
Communicating, thank you. Calling in a concern, I realize we're short of time, but that is, to me, very different than actually placing a device or substance in a situation where people are in actual imminent threat of harm. This amendment would essentially take out of Section 1 all of the indirect communication and essentially, to make a long story short, transform that into amendments into existing law under the bomb threat section of the code, saying that now communicate a threat, and that's all it is, just a threat, without the actual device, whether it be a hoax device or an actual device or substance, is now just going to be included in the actual bomb threat section of the code, which then would make it a Class 6 felony regardless of age, so we treat everybody the same. And then it will also bring those up. So to have an actual device would be a Class 4, to have a hoax device would be a Class 5, and just calling in a threat without any device of any nature will then be Class 6 under existing law, and regardless of age again. So everybody, my concern was that we had some pretty stiff penalties for someone just calling in a threat, and knowing kids can be kids, that this will drop everything back to what we arguably have an existing policy and existing law in state.
Any questions? So as to clarify, as to a juvenile, this brings this back to a Class 6 felony.
Right, it makes no age distinction.
There's no age distinction.
But it will make just simply the calling in of a threat the same as it is for a bomb. Whether you have a substance of, a substance or device.
And so the calling in of a threat would be a Class 6 felony,
right,
regardless of age.
Mirroring it, just clarifying under existing code, that's correct.
And the placing of a hoax device would be?
Would still remain, as in the bill, a Class 5, a hoax device. You'd have to actually have a device, though.
A hoax device.
A hoax device.
I mean, it could be this box. It would be a hoax device. If I somehow fashioned it or caused it to be considered to be an explosive.
As long as it's, again, under the bill language, any device that would cause a person to reasonably believe that it's a dangerous explosive or incendiary device or similar destructive device.
Yeah.
Or substance language is similar.
Okay. Just to clarify then, as I understand your substitute motion, the amendment proposed by your substitute motion, it would effectively take the bill back, as far as juveniles are concerned, it would place juveniles in the same position as adults, and it would retain the felony nature of the act.
That's correct, and if I could, Mr. Chairman, the only other characterization I would add to that is that the type of crime most likely to be convicted or charged to a juvenile be the one calling in simply a threat rather than the placement of an actual device. So in all likelihood, we have reduced substantially the penalty from a Class 4 or 5 down to a Class 6.
And that would be the difference.
Right.
Yes. Any further questions? If not, all those in favor of the substitute motion, the amendment.
I don't want to take any testimony on that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes. Further discussion. Senator Moore.
Well, you know, I think this bill is significant, and that's why it's back up here in committee. You know, and so, you know, I'm kind of taking this a little bit seriously. And I appreciate what Senator Bogue has done here. I believe that it helped somewhat, but my concern is that by deleting what we have on 5, 6, and 7, we've taken some substance out of the bill, and that bothers me a little bit. And I think that we need to, I think we're all forgetting what happened on September 11th already, and that's what bothers me a little bit. It's behind us now. Nothing really significant has happened since then. So, what do we even need the bill for? I mean, either we're going to be serious about it, or we shouldn't do anything at all, period. And I don't want to see the bill watered down. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Senator Bogue, the Attorney General's office had an opportunity to review this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, they have. And if I could just one sentence response to that. My intent is not at all, Senator Moore, to water this down. It's strictly to take the actual terroristic threats and leave them in one category and simple threats down to something else. So.
Would the Attorney General's office like to comment on this amendment?
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. We have looked at the amendment and, in fact, aided in the drafting of the amendment, and so I don't have any objection to it. I also think it raises some of the issues that the trial lawyers brought up. They were the only opponents who testified before on Senate Bill 19. And I guess, I'd be happy to answer questions, but we have no objection.
Okay. Any questions? If not, thank you very much. Is there further discussion of the substitute motion?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Bogue, Charlie mentioned the trial lawyers. Are they aware of the amendment?
I'm not aware of. There's
so they weren't included along with the drafting as the attorney.
I did go through because it was the Attorney General's bill. I wanted to make sure they saw what I was doing. But no, I hope that they have received a copy.
Thank you.
So
further discussion. If not, we'll vote on the substitute motion, and we'll do that by roll call.
Vote.
Aye.
Hewitt.
Aye.
Ketzel.
No.
Koskin.
Aye.
Moore.
No.
Dugard.
Aye.
Whiting.
No.
4 yeas, 3 nays.
The substitute motion is passed, and so now we will consider the bill as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to amend the bill further by inserting, as I endeavored to do when this bill was up before, that no part of this act may be construed to create any cause of action against any public entity, officer, employee, or agent based upon or arising out of any act or omission relating to good faith responses to acts of third parties, including terrorist acts or attempted terrorist acts. So I would ask that be amended It's within the clerk's minutes. It's the same language that was proposed before. And if there's a second, I'd like to offer some.
It's been moved and seconded, but you'd like to explain.
I think in our prior deliberations, this was portrayed as an immunity for any actions of a public official in response to a terrorist act. And that's not what it says. It says no part of this act. So to the extent that there is a new cause of crime being created by this act, and that crime, let me give you the example that could arise. Let's say I'm the sheriff for County A, and someone calls me and says my student said there's been a bomb planted. So as the sheriff, then I intentionally communicate directly a threat that a bomb has been planted. So I have intentionally communicated to the school.
You're the sheriff.
I'm the sheriff. I call the school up and I say, a bomb's been planted. So I have intentionally communicated the information or the threat that a bomb's been planted. It's not my threat, but it is a threat. And then it does cause the evacuation or serious disruption. Then later it comes out, let's say, that this was a prank call. This was not indeed the person who they said it was, but I, in good faith, evacuated the school. Now, am I civilly liable under Section 3 for the damages, I think a case could be made. I don't think in good faith it would be, but I think there's concern that it could be. And I think this provides immunity to public officials for good faith's act as good Samaritans. They're trying to do their job in response, and they're not in bad faith making the threat themselves. They're simply communicating a threat that someone else has made known to them, and that others may disagree whether or not, in my judgment, I acted correctly in telling the school to evacuate.
Well, any questions or discussions regarding this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, just a question of Senator Dugard. Do you think that we could accomplish the same thing much simpler by not passing your amendment, but by inserting in the first section of the bill, in lieu of intentionally communicates, have it read any person who with malicious intent communicates? And that would cover the sheriff who was passing along that information. Wouldn't that make it a lot simpler?
Would you like to make a substitute motion?
I'd make a substitute motion to amend Senate Bill 19 to accomplish what I just said.
And that would be in line?
On line 4, section, or page 1 of the printed bill?
Engrossed
bill? After the word who, delete the word intentionally and insert with malicious intent.
Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Moved and seconded. A discussion of that substitute motion.
Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I apologize. I was absent at the last meeting when this was discussed, but to the extent that this changes the nature of the Attorney General's bill without discussing it, I guess I'd be reluctant to support that. But as to Senator Dugard's motion, I'm not sure where it's warranted, because it's still under Section 3 requires that there actually be a conviction. And I frankly can't imagine a court of this state convicting a law enforcement officer who calls up the school after receiving a threat and then convicting them of a violation of Section 1, thus forcing them into a civil liability issue for paying for the expenses of that, the ramifications. I think we're looking at a boogeyman that doesn't exist here, and to that extent there doesn't appear to be a need to change Section 1.
Any further discussion of the proposed amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would have to agree with Senator Bogue. I think you're completely changing the direction, because then there's, you have to prove malicious intent rather than a hoax. I mean, that's what the bill addresses, is just a hoax. And it may not be malicious. It may be out of just having a
joke.
And so I think you're probably going to water down the intent of the bill if you do that. I prefer, and if anybody wants to look at it, we do have in our minutes the amendment that Senator Dugard has proposed. So I would oppose the substitute motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the substitute motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The substitute motion fails. We're back to Senator Dugard's motion. All those in favor of Senator Dugard's motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
I'll call for a roll call vote on that.
No.
Hewitt. Aye. Getzel.
No.
Costin.
Aye.
Moore.
No.
Dugard. Whiting.
No.
3 ayes, 4 nays.
That motion does fail. We go back to the to Senate Bill 19.
Sure, I would move Do pass as amended.
Do pass as amended. And the amendment is as per the amendments circulated by Senator Bogue. Further discussion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Bogue.
Aye.
Hewitt.
No.
Ketzel.
No.
Proskin.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Dugard.
Aye.
Whiting.
Aye.
5 ayes, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 19 does go out with a do pass as amended recommendation.